Hey, Cam, mind sending me over our new Wi-Fi password?
Oh, sorry, Mitch, you can't be trusted.
What?
It's your phone. It's different than mine.
Cam! And I thought I was a judgy one.
No, it's just messages between different devices aren't encrypted.
Okay. Since when do you know about encryption?
I know what encryption is, and it's because I'm the last line of defense against any would-be Wi-Fi thieves.
Cam, come on.
Okay, fine. I'll send it somewhere more private.
Thank you.
Safely send messages between different devices. On WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Buy me some peanuts and crackers, Jack. I don't care if I... Standing
into his wind-up. Here's the pitch. One run and just a perfect game.
June Tawney is rolling right along. Shohei Ohtani is on fire. We got the latest Dodgers news and rumors. Also, special guest Jose Mota joins us. That's coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Shohei Ohtani for a stretch of home run.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. Welcome to another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live, the number one Dodgers show here on YouTube. If you haven't yet, do us a huge favor. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button and comment Go Tawny down below. But we're not going to waste any time because we have the man, Mr. Jose Mota, Dodgers analyst on their Spanish broadcast, along with Pepe Iniguez. You can find him on AM 570. He's talking all things Dodger baseball everywhere. He's forgotten more baseball than most people have ever known. You can follow him at Jose Mota 05. Jose, how is life on the road in Chicago, my man?
What is up, Doogie? Just want to give you a little different flavor here. Chicago Rush Street, getting ready for the game. Went through the morning routines, the workout, the walk around the city. Little coffee, got to finish up with some donuts, man. So I'm here ready to talk baseball with you.
Got to love Shy City. You're repping your Kings. You're repping Real Madrid. We're talking about the Dodgers. And, of course, we got to get right into it because Shohei Ohtani, no one has watched more Shohei Ohtani games than you, right? I mean, from your time with the Angels to now the Dodgers, well, all of a sudden, he's the best player on the planet once again. He was going through that little slump in the month of May, but in June, hitting 306, slugging 706, 10 home runs. 22 RBIs. The strikeout rate has gone down. You're seeing him crush bombs to deep center field. What is the biggest difference between Shohei Ohtani in that slump to what you're seeing right now? And how has he gotten back on track, Jose?
There's a couple of things. Number one is pitch selection, which is a product of him having his feet set when he hits. Shohei cannot be skating around in the batter's box. And I saw that happen years ago with the Angels. We know when he goes into slumps, it starts with the bottom. He needs to be anchored. He needs to be grounded. We spoke with Dave Bassett last night. And he needs to be a guy that can go out there and spin, see the ball, wait for the ball, and take his watch. When Shohei is walking, things are going well. That means that Shohei is hitting. And that is what you see right now. When he gets away from the bigger swings, when he tries to over-manufacture power. He doesn't need to. But what you're seeing is, too, that when you asked me a couple of months ago, is there another level to this guy? I said, oh, you haven't seen it yet. It's coming. Shohei can turn around with the best. Shohei doesn't have to swing hard. Shohei can spread the ball around. Shohei can bat wherever you want him to. This has nothing to do with batting leadoff. It's just the fact that he found his groove, batting obviously now with Mookie Betts out. But Doogie, the best thing is home runs are going out to center field, which is where he has hit both of his home runs throughout his whole career.
Yeah, we're waiting for some of these balls to land, right? I mean, just the power, the sound it makes. I love the one yesterday, though, because it was a wall scraper, right? It goes right out of the glove of Tommy Pham. It's 93 miles per hour off the bat. But I think your perspective on Shohei Ohtani is one of the ones that I appreciate the most because you've seen his entire career. When you see where he is now, do you think that we're getting peak Shohei Ohtani? Do you think he has another gear? Do you think that him with the Dodgers is another player altogether? Just what's the biggest difference between him on the Dodgers and him on the Angels? And does he have another gear do you think he can get to?
Well, this is a team game, and there's no doubt that we've seen the best in Shohei Ohtani right now because he's surrounded by very good players. And, you know, without Mike Trout, it's not the same over there with him in Anaheim, without Anthony Rendon, other players that were there. But he just never had this type of support system, this type of, you know, expectations. Let's be truly honest and transparent about that. He came here expecting to win. And from day one, when he arrived in the big leagues and I had conversations with him, he had won in Hokkaido. He wants to win in the United States. It didn't happen with the Angels, but it's all a byproduct, Doug, just a good environment, great teammates, information, resources, and the fact that with every single former teammate that I spoke of him this past week from the Angels, they still just marvel at how much he works and how intelligent he is about the game, how he accepts failure, and it bothers him, but seems like failure brings another gear with him. So, I mean, Luis Renjifo was telling me, Jose, he's out there in left field rehabbing his arm. He's the DH tonight. He goes, we saw this all throughout his career here in the clubhouse, in the gym, on the road, his schedule, morning schedule, from breakfast all the way through nutrition and things like that. So what we're seeing is pretty much a byproduct, but the next level is going to come when hopefully October comes because he has not experienced that. Obviously, you cannot compare October in Major League Baseball with the World Baseball Classic. We know the intensity is about the same or even more in the WBC, but this is different. You know, teams are aiming for you. There's going to be a team with a sub record that, you know, below you that's going to give you a hard time. So for Shohei Ohtani, it's a learning process to know that at least he knows who he's surrounded by. The team gives him a chance to win every single day, and he's enjoying the heck out of playing baseball again.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest takeaways is it looks like he's enjoying being in a winning organization, having fun with his teammates. He's a machine, but he can also crack a smile. He can have fun with the guys. And I think that that's really just kind of being in that clubhouse. I'm like, wow, he is kind of one of the guys. I mean, I thought maybe he's going to have his own locker, you know, 10 miles away and just have this separate thing. But no, he is someone that has really integrated himself nicely. And I think the big question Dodger fan land right now is, since he's filled in for Mookie Betts at the leadoff spot, Mookie went down with that fractured left hand. 9 games, Shohei's hitting .371 with a .1363 OPS, 5 home runs, 3 doubles, batting leadoff. Do you even have the conversation about Shohei staying at leadoff when Mookie Betts returns?
Yes, you need to have it.
Wow.
Mookie Betts has done it for a lot of years successfully. And you got to figure out is, in today's day and the way lineups are constructed, who do you want the best swings from and who do you want in front of them, right? We know that, I mean, with Mookie, as with Shohei, it's quick lightning. Okay, one swing, there's a difference. Oh, and then comes Freddie Freeman, who's an on-base machine, and then Will Smith, and then Teoscar. So it's going to be a decision which Dodgers and Dave Roberts are going to decide, well, Mookie, what do you think, number one, out of respect to him? And for Shohei, no question, whatever they do and say, he's going to do, but it's a matter of just the way the lineup needs to be constructed against the opponents. What gives you a better chance to match up well against the starters and then against the bullpens? But the conversation needs to be had, especially in asking Mookie Betts when he returns, what is his preference? Because Dave Roberts is very good with that. He did it with Mookie. He did it with Trey Turner, Justin Turner, people like that, or Freddie Freeman. Even Freddie batting back in number 3 to me is the ideal thing when obviously you slot, you know, Smith in the number 2. But it's fun to talk about it because there's a problem that many teams would love to have right now.
Absolutely, Jose. You mentioned that. I mean, these are champagne problems, right? You got MVPs. You have some of the best hitters in the game that you're deciding. But I have always said on the show for months now that I think it's important to break up those lefties in the top of the lineup. And you put Mookie in the two hole there. You have Shohei at leadoff. You got left, and then you got right, and you got left right there. And I think that optimizes the lineup. And also, Shohei's a faster player. He's a more dynamic base runner than Mookie at this point of his career, but still, I think you made the best point in that it's a conversation with Mookie Betts, because we know that, yes, I've always said it's Shohei's organization now, but I think it's still Mookie's team in a lot of different respects. And I think if Mookie wants to stay at that leadoff spot, he's certainly going to do that. But it's very fun to talk about because, yes, you look at increased at-bats, increased plate appearances, and you look at the bottom of that lineup, right? Can the 7, 8, 9 hitters get on base to give Shohei Ohtani opportunities to drive in runs? How important do you think that aspect of it is, just having the bottom of the lineup kind of carry out their end of the bargain to give them some ducks on the pond that they can drive home?
Oh, it's mightily important, and I'm seeing some flashes here and there. It seems like we have a flash for a week or two,
yeah,
and then it goes away. The Dodgers need consistency, 7, 8, 9. And the one guy that's providing that, really, you think about this, when Mookie Betts returns, he's probably not going to be playing. That's Miguel Rojas, who's been outstanding all through the season in terms of hitting the ball on a line and on the ground, which is his game. But if Mookie's in that lineup and Rojas is not, then, Gavin Lux needs to step up and do a better job. Jason Hayward is finding his groove, and he's big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is really big because he is also another lefty with some power, on base percentage quite high. But also, another thing we're thinking about with Mookie is, if Shohei bats leadoff, is it ideal for Mookie to have maybe, I'm going to call it distraction, okay, of Ohtani running and not having that in a long time in front of him, having a real threat-stealing basis? Is he going to be able to allow Shohei to run? Does Mookie just get better pitches because of Shohei, which is, again, another big problem and a great problem to have? So all these things fit into what Dodgers are going to be facing with these two dynamic players, three with Freddie Freeman. But getting back to the bottom, their job is not to be anything else but good situational players. Okay? Nobody is asking the bottom of that lineup to slug anybody, but to put the ball in play and keep the line moving and take your walks, keep hitting the line, because the guys on top will take care of it. So hopefully we will see consistency all throughout. Hey, and if it gets to a point where Miguel Rojas is providing that for you, Mookie comes back and there's no production on the other side from Lux, then Miguel Rojas should be getting more at-bats, no doubt.
There's no doubt about that. I want to go back to something you said about Mookie batting the two-hole, having Ohtani as a threat on first as a base runner and how that impacts Mookie. Yeah, I think the beauty of all this is you just can't pitch around any of these guys. And I think Mookie, yes, the on base is higher than Shohei's, and you love that from your leadoff hitter. And we know Mookie 50 plus home runs from a leadoff guy, but you also seen the power numbers kind of go down a little bit, and 39 home runs last year. I think if you put him in that two hole, he gets great pitches to hit, and you see Mookie do what he does best, just rake for this team. But yeah, let's switch gears. Actually, one more question. You can call your shot right now. You can call your shot on Shohei Ohtani. I mean, is he going to be the first player in Major League history to win the National League MVP primarily as a DH?
He is a primary candidate, and if there's anybody that's going to do it, it's going to be Shohei Ohtani. There's no doubt. And I was asked this question yesterday on national TV about people that are mumbling about a DH, full-time DH, and MVP. So the DH was created by baseball.
Yeah.
The DH is now universal. You cannot penalize a guy because he's a designated hitter. I mean, otherwise, you tell me that guys that win MVPs and play positions are also great fielders. Not necessarily. So why should we penalize a guy that does very good and performs at the highest level for his team that's winning also to say, well, he doesn't play position? Not valid to me, because the game has evolved and we got to get past that.
I agree 100%. We've seen David Ortiz. He got some votes, some other guys kind of in the mix, but I think this is the year that we really make history and he wins that MVP primarily as a DH. By the way, he's an injured pitcher. Not bad for an injured pitcher going out there, putting up the numbers that he's putting up. But you mentioned Miguel Rojas. I want to switch gears to Miggy Rowe, because he's another guy that's filling in for Mookie Betts. He's putting together those professional at-bats. He's been an above average hitter this season. The glove work has been outstanding. Doesn't matter what defensive metric you look at, he's at the top, near the top. I mean, you look at the range, you look at the outs above average. He's truly an elite shortstop at the age of 35. And you mentioned Lux and Miguel Rojas. I mean, I do think that it's a situation where when Mookie returns, do you have him at second base and you have Miguel Rojas full-time at the shortstop position? How big of a conversation do you think that's going to be within the Dodgers when Mookie's back?
It has to be a conversation, because if your best shortstop down the line is going to take a little bit of a blow away and wait away from Mookie Betts at second base, then there's no doubt he should be your shortstop. I mean, Miggy's going to make the plays. He's going to keep everybody engaged. He's going to make it easy on Mookie Betts, make another transition if he needs to. You know, and I took Mookie's quote about taking a mental break, Doug, when this injury happened. Don't take that lightly. It's a lot. It means a lot, because it just tells you about how much he's carrying right now as a shortstop. It's not an easy position to go out there and make a transition to from the outfield to second base to shortstop. And you can see it sometimes. He's been very honest and very transparent about it. It is pretty much a lot of work, a lot of responsibility. So why wouldn't the Dodgers entertain, based on production alone, the fact that Mookie Betts could perhaps be at one point their best option at second base? And I'm hoping, actually, that Gavin Lux makes it very hard. But looking at the numbers and the results and the whole way in which the infield dances with Rojas in there, no doubt in my mind that it could be a combination of Rojas at short and Mookie at second base.
Yeah, because that was the original plan, right? I mean, you have Mookie at second. He's on the dirt. You're reducing the wear and tear. He's not in the outfield running back and forth nine times a game, like he said. I think you mentioned the mental fatigue and the mental break. And when he said that, that's when it really resonated with me, that, look, this is the shortstop position, right? It's nothing short of heroic what Mookie Betts did for this team to start this season. When you consider a six-time Gold Glove Award-winning outfielder playing that position at the big league level at age 31, that has to take its toll at some point. And then you add the fact that you have Miguel Rojas. I mean, most teams out there would love to have Miggy Rowe as your opening day starting shortstop. The Dodgers had him as a depth piece, and I just don't see how you can keep him off the field if he continues to produce. Even if his offensive numbers level off a little bit, if he's still giving you professional at-bats, doesn't strike out a ton, and you just have a player that's playing that premium position at an elite level, I just don't see how you can take him off the field. But you look to their Dodgers 23-0 when he gets a hit. Hey, how about last night? No hits, but he did get hit by a pitch. Dodgers 1-0 when he gets hit by a pitch. So there's that. So good to see there. And now another option too. You look at the outfield. I mean, look at the outfield production. Jason Hayward's back, as you mentioned. He's done a fine job in his return. But I want to talk about Andy Páez, because I've been so impressed with Andy Páez and the way he comes up. He gets off to a hot start. He's raking. He's putting up historic numbers. You're talking about the rookie of the year. And then, like any rookie, any big leaguer, you're going to have your lulls, right? You're going to have your slumps. But then he makes his way out of this slump.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry. Only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands. All hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Now, what have you seen from Andy Páez since he's gotten out of this slump? And do you think that he's going to be able to sustain a really solid season for the remainder of the year?
The reason he can sustain this, Doug, is because I think going through adversity at this level is not easy. And we've seen it with players in the past. Young players, the first time they face adversity, when happens at this level, a lot of them just sink and never recover. Páez, and he was provided the opportunity, yes, but he adjusted himself to have better play coverage. You and I talked about a couple of months ago about his swing, which is, to me, a little more level now, even though he does have that dip like a left-handed batter. But he's learned on the league in which pitches to lay off of. And a lot of times, let me tell you something, those pitches are strikes, but they're not his pitch, in which something that young players recognize sometimes a little bit too late. It's to say, hey, they call that pitch on me up on the letters away that perhaps I'm not very good at. But there's not a lot of pitchers that can go out there and pinpoint and repeat that pitch consistently. And you just know that he is now more capable of doing damage against, as we say, cookies, mistakes over the plate, using the whole field. He can cut back and hit the ball the other way too and stand on the slider. So I actually took a picture of a still of his coverage or lack of coverage pretty much from a month and a half ago compared to now. And it's quite clear that his play coverage, selection of pitches has improved a whole lot. And you see the confidence in the way he plays too. And Páez is a guy that, you know, yesterday I met the scout that signed him, Mike Tolstar, out of Miami. And he was a Dodger in search for many years and scout. And he says, this guy used to be chubby, non-athletic. We like what we saw when I saw him when he signed with the Dominican. He goes, but when he saw him here in Chicago, he goes, I can't believe the transformation, how he's taking care of himself and how well he understands the game. Another point on Páez is this. Go back and look from about a month ago until now, the work he's putting in early with Clay McCollum and getting his work with the outfield and throwing footwork. Rick Monday has made very good observations about him in that first step. And all these things seem to be manageable now, where he knows that if things don't go well in the batter's box, you still have to go out there and play some defense, as James Outman did, right? But his jumps are better. He's throwing more efficiently. He's getting rid of the ball a little quicker because it did get around the league that he took a long time to do a windup to get rid of the baseball. Now he's quicker to the baseball and charging it a little bit better to stop those guys from going first to third or scoring. But I do expect him to continue at this pace because he does have good play coverage the other way, and he's really recognizing pitches a little bit better now with much play discipline.
Yeah, I love that you bring that up, just the transformation, right? The changing of his body composition. This is someone that only played 33 games in AA last year, 15 games in AAA. He comes up to the show, and the lights aren't too bright for him. And you mentioned it right there. He's making these incremental improvements, especially defensively. I mean, I remember he first came out like, wow, he hit the cutoff guy. It works for me, right? And then you see the mistakes that he's made. He runs through a stop sign. I like the aggression there. A couple weeks ago, the Dodgers lose that game. I think that that's important, right? The experience he's learning at the big league level, and you're not talking him about him defensively. And the fact that you're not talking about defensively really means he's doing a really solid job. So I'm extremely impressed with Andy Páez making his way out of that slump. But do you think that this is a situation where you look at the outfield picture, Jason Hayward, I think that he's holding it down. He's done a fine job in right. Teoscar Hernandez putting together an all-star season. Andy Páez in center. But do you think the Dodgers look to add another outfield bat? Maybe a Luis Robert Jr., maybe a Randy Arozarena. Do you think that at the deadline, the focus should be maybe adding another bat in the outfield?
To me, pitching is number one. You still have a guy like Kiki that can help you out in the outfield if you need to, even though Kiki offensively has taken a step in the wrong direction. But I think there's more in Kiki. There's still a lot of meaningful games to play in, and he's proven throughout his career that there's no big moment for him. We want to see it going. We want to see it going with Kiki and making more contact and better at bats and being a presence down there too. I would love for Kiki Hernandez to put pressure on Dave Roberts to say, hey, by my production, you're going to have to play me a little bit more, regardless of Muncy or not. But I think that in terms of the outfield, my only concern would be if you bring a guy that's playing every day, okay, how does he affect the players that are here now that have been everyday players that have produced for you? That's my only concern. I know that people love Roberts' abilities, tremendous skills, but is he a good fit? I just want, if they go out there and do something, to make sure you get somebody that fits into the role, into the mode, into the culture, that understands that it's not about them. You're just another piece in a very good ball club. So there's going to be some names, where not as premier names are going to be available, but perhaps I would take a look at.
Yeah, and I could not agree with you more. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's all about starting pitching and starting pitching depth, because just it takes one pitch for a pitcher to go down, then all of a sudden you're in scramble mode trying to fill out your rotation for the postseason. We know Tyler Glass now. What we said?
Yeah, and another thing too, Doug, consider, you know, the postseason, they're bullpen games.
Yeah, 100%.
Trying to give you five, yeah. And it's like, hey, we have it at five. Now let's go work the bullpen. So, I mean, you can never have enough bullpen arms. And I know there's some guys coming up to IL that have done a very good job of their careers, but there's also some very attractive names out there that can be guys that go multiple innings, because in October, I mean, how many times have you seen a closer come in the seventh inning out of desperation and out of running out of options and say, who's my best matchup? So adding another bullpen arm to me would be something also pretty ideal.
Yeah, and that's what makes Garrett Crochet such a enticing possibility, so attractive as a target, because you could trade for him and possibly use your depth to kind of shut him down, load manage him a little, because we're already in uncharted waters when it comes to his innings pitch, right? I mean, the most he's pitched in a season is this year, already over 88 innings of work, and it's his first year as a full-time starter. So you could almost use him in a hybrid role in the postseason if you want to go that route, and he's also under a couple more years of team control. But I think you look at this postseason rotation, Tyler Glass now putting together Cy Young level season. He's your game one starter. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the big question is, does Yoshinobu Yamamoto return? And when he does, is he going to be the guy that we saw that was really establishing himself as a top 10 pitcher? You told me months ago that day one, he was going to be one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. Certainly you were 100% correct about that. Yamamoto is unbelievable when he's right. We saw his start against the Yankees pumping 97, nasty curveball, nasty splitter. But do you think that Yamamoto is going to return and he's going to be at 100%? Or are you a little concerned about this rotator cuff injury that he's been dealing with?
If I tell that I'm not concerned, I'll be lying to you, because he has never faced this before. And Yoshinobu, as good as he is in taking care of his body, understanding what it takes to get ready for a game, you know, he's a guy that doesn't train in the most traditional way. So, in fact, he's never played a big league season. So we don't know that. If we look at the body of work in Japan and his tendencies, his stuff and his drive, I'm counting on him. But we can't deal with the uncertainty of not knowing exactly, with no track record here in the big leagues, how he will respond to this whole thing. And, you know, in talking to Yoshi and getting information from him, it was so tough and such a blow to him, almost like personally. I mean, in their culture, like you let the team down. It's more like their feeling that they have. But accepting the injury was the first thing. It took him a few days to accept the fact that he's injured. He cannot pitch. So in other words, you got to cut down on your training and the things that you've been doing every single day between starts to get ready, and just know that you got to take care of this, number one. But because we haven't heard anything more but the fact that he's going to rest for a couple of weeks, then throw, that encouraged me to know that, like with Bobby Miller, that this injury is not going to be as serious as we thought it was going to be. But he's going to be scrutinized and screened heavily, because we know that he's not a big body type. Obviously, he is not accustomed to this type of travel himself or the schedule. But, man, I would love for him to be a piece, because I know what I saw in Japan. I know by talking to scouts, his pitching coaches back then, that when he found his groove, you take away that first inning in Korea, and he is one of the top pitchers in baseball. No doubt about it.
No, yeah. I mean, look at all the numbers. Even with that start, he's a top 10 guy. I mean, he could take my rotator cuff. It's not going to be worth as much. But, yeah, they need him back in a big way. I was so excited to see because he's someone that – loves the bright lights. We saw what he did in the Japan series. He takes his game to a whole nother level, and I think that's something that this organization needs is dogs in the postseason. I think Yoshinobu Yamamoto certainly has the potential to be just that, but yeah, pitching injuries, they can be tricky, and we're going to find out if he's going to return. I definitely have high hopes that hopefully they kind of caught this a little early and that they put him in the best position to say, you know what, we don't have to rush you back, right? Landon Knack has been performing well. We do have some pitching depth. Paxton has gotten together. Three really good starts in a row from James Paxton. Bobby Miller, I think it's a situation where, yeah, six walks and 8 2/3. It's going to take some time, right? I mean, it's not a situation where you option him, you go on the IL. No, he just needs to get back there and find that command again, yep. Right?
Yes, and there's a name that, don't call me crazy, okay? But there's a guy that I know has another level in him. His name's Walker Buehler, okay? This guy is alpha dog mentality, who has not found, I would say, mentally and physically that balance that he needs to say, hey, who am I today? And how do I help this team? I mean, Doug, he's pumping 96, 97.
Yep.
He's spinning the ball well. He's getting lit up on the four-seam fastball. So he's got a cutter. He's got a changeup. And this mental break could be exactly what he needed, because I do believe that because of who he is and how proud he is and how much he fights for his team and how much he wants to be a premier pitcher again, that there's going to be the best out of Walker Buehler still to come this season.
I could not agree with you more. I think the thing with Walker Buehler is the home runs clearly have been an issue, 10 home runs in 37 innings. But you look at the stuff, it's not like there's a big drop off in velocity. It's not like the pitch mix is that different than we saw when he got injured in 2022. That guy is still in there. He just needs the reps. And I think, too, like Dave Roberts mentioned, it's you getting used to pitching with the new body composition, the added muscle, the added weight. And I think that they're going to look at everything. They're going to put him under a microscope and see what's wrong mechanically. And I really, if it's a concern level with Walker Buehler, it to me, it's at a 2. I just think it's your second Tommy John surgery. No one is smarter. No one works harder. No one wants it more than this guy, especially when you look at the fact it's a contract year. I definitely think that I think some people have given up on Walker Buehler. For me, I haven't sold my Walker Buehler stock at all. And for the reasons that you mentioned, is got the dog and he still has the stuff. It's just about learning how to pitch post Tommy John surgery number 2 and just kind of getting back to the guy that he was. But Jose, I know you got a busy day in Chicago. You're calling the game tonight. I want to get you out on two quick ones, though. Two quick ones.
Got it.
One, what is your favorite road ballpark in Major League Baseball, Jose?
Never a doubt. Seattle.
Seattle.
T-Mobile. I love the ballpark. Love the city, the whole vibe.
The food's great, too, at the stadium.
Great food. I always go find my clam chowder over in left field, along with my fish and chips, which are like caught like this thick. And just a great, I mean, the press box itself, the booths are very comfortable. It's never really hot in there. It's always nice and cool. And just, you know, through the years with the Angels, I mean, I think in the traveling party, it was like 70 guys overall, including the broadcasters and players, about 55 said every time we asked a question, it was Seattle, and that was the reason. I mean, it's something great about going to Seattle.
Seattle's great. I mean, I get that answer a lot. I've been there once. It's great. I saw Ichiro back in the day. It was a great experience. Okay, last question, okay? You, of course, play in the show. First hits, you go 2-for-4 against the Astros on May 25th, 1991, right? Great day for you that day. If you could hit a home run off of any pitcher in Major League history, who would that pitcher be, Jose?
Oh, my God. I was a switch hitter.
That's a good point.
I'm going to say Greg Maddux, because I faced him a lot, even in AAA. And then when I came to the big leagues, I faced him when he was a Cub. And I faced him actually here in the Wrigley. And he smoked with a fastball in my arm. And I was like, you know what? If I could just have the pleasure of taking somebody deep, it'll be, you know, Greg Maddux. But there have been so many great pitchers through the years. But I'm going to pick him because it'll take a mistake on his part and also a swing that I would not know what to do with, because I'm going to close my eyes and swing as hard as I can, and hopefully the ball will be carrying, and we'll be playing in Wrigley Field, and that's going to be the wind blowing out too. So I'll pick Maddux.
I love Greg Maddux, man. Shout out to TBS back in the day. Grew up watching him. Hey, he's a guy, too, that can hit a home run the same game. Maddux hit five bombs in his career. So, got to love Greg Maddux. Good. But, Jose, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy calling the game. We'll catch up with you really soon. You can follow Jose Mota on X, on Instagram, at JoseMota05. Look for his reels on our Dodgers Nation account. He's always giving you a behind-the-scenes glimpse, a more with Mota, the Mota Minute. Jose Mota, we love having you here. You're getting a lot of love in the chat. We'll get to those comments showing you a lot of love down there. Kenny Chung says, much respect to Jose Mota for the dialogue. Huge fan of your father, Manny Mota, for the win, and Jose Mota. So, Jose, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy your time in Chicago. Enjoy your time up in San Francisco, and we'll catch up with you when you get back, my man.
From Chicago, little Sammy Sosa for you.
There you go. Little Sammy Sosa. That's what I'm talking about, man. All right, thanks, Jose. Appreciate it, my man.
Got it.
It's time for...
All right. And we are back here on Dodgers Dugout Live. So, yeah, Jose had some fascinating takes, some fantastic analysis and insight on your Los Angeles Dodgers and things that you really haven't heard or seen. Things like, hey, guess what? This is someone who calls games for Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's out there saying the same thing I've been saying for months now. You want to see Miguel Rojas, if he continues to perform at this level, he should be the Dodgers shortstop when Mookie Betts returns, because you just can't not take advantage of something like that. Someone that plays elite defense and is giving you an above average level of production at the plate. So I'm all in on the idea of Miguel Rojas at shortstop. It's just a matter of making sure he stays healthy and giving him some days off. You still have that ability. You still have Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor that you can mix in at shortstop. You can still have Mookie Betts play a day or two at shortstop if you wanted to go that way. Justin Kim 2000 says, Hala Madrid. Roy Estrada said, Cole pitching for the Yankees, no longer Cy Mets, hit four bombs off Cole. Yeah, like I said yesterday on Twitter, the Yankees thought they were getting back Gerrit Cole, and they got back Lance Lynn, because that was four home runs for Gerrit Cole. I can't do a fellow Bruin like that, though. I kind of feel bad for that. So Gerrit Cole, he'll get right. But yeah, I mean, another thing that I think was very interesting is, look, Yamamoto, I think within the organization, there has to be a level of concern. And I think even if he does return, you still have to go out there and almost treat this trade deadline like he's not going to return. Even though there's a good chance he does, you just have to go out there and reinforce this rotation, reinforce this bullpen in any way you can, because we know that's what wins in the postseason. You see offenses, if you want the dub, you got to slug. Yes, that's the case. And the team that out-homers their opponent in the postseason, they win those games by a very large margin percentage-wise. So, yes, you want that, and you have guys in the lineup that can do that. But I think with Garrett Crochet, I think with Jack Flaherty, Jack Flaherty's not someone that you're going to say, okay, he's my number two starter. He's going to go game two. There's no question about it. But if Garrett Crochet stays healthy, he absolutely would get the ball in game two. And imagine that two-headed monster right there, Tyler Glasnow and Garrett Crochet. There is your ace. There is your co-ace. And then for game three, if Yamamoto's back, he goes for game three. If Bobby Miller finds it, he could be in the conversation for game three if Yamamoto goes down. Gavin Stone, if he continues to pitch like he's pitched this season, he absolutely would get strong consideration for game three. We'll see how Clayton Kershaw looks when he returns. So, yeah, they're going to have some options, but the way to take this team over the top is put guys on the mound that can put up zeros early in games. I think one thing about this Dodgers team is, yes, they have the talent to put up crooked numbers in every inning, right? But it's sometimes you see during the regular season, they're front runners, right? They can get to a middling pitcher, go deep on him, especially if the pitcher's not pumping 97, 98, and then all of a sudden, the game's over, the Dodgers win, and it's another 100-game season. By the way, the Dodgers, they're on pace to win 100 games again, so that's what they do. They've mastered the art of the regular season. They're still trying to figure out how to perfect the postseason. And what you need in the postseason out of your starters is dominance, right, is dominance. And that's what Garrett Crochet brings. That's what Tyler Glasnow brings. That is what Walker Buehler has the potential to bring if he's at his best. But I think that with just the fragility of starting pitchers right now, there's no doubt about it that I'm in agreement with Jose Mota, and I have been this entire time. You need a starting pitcher. You need another reliever to truly solidify this run. I think what makes Garrett Crochet, like I told Jose Mota, so intriguing is the fact that the Dodgers have the depth to not run him into the ground, right? They're not chasing the Giants in the division like they were a couple years ago, where you needed Max Scherzer to go out there and give you 6, 7, 8 innings and be a lights-out starting pitcher. They don't need that because the Padres, they're slipping in the division. And the Dodgers, they're going to cruise to an NL West title. So you wouldn't have to trade for Garrett Crochet and say, okay, go out there and go as deep as you possibly can. No, it's about getting Garrett Crochet and then optimizing him. Now, there is another report that suggested that Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr. would be included in the same deal, that they would try to get a blockbuster deal done with the team to try to maximize their return. I don't necessarily think that's 100% the case. I think that with the Dodgers, where they're at, you have big league ready talent, right? Miguel Vargas, he's had a hit in his last 9 games where he's gotten the start. He's getting hits against right-handed pitching. I think if you're a team out there, Miguel Vargas has to look like an attractive prospect. I mean, we'll see if Gavin Lux, if they decide to move off of him. Gavin Lux is starting to put together multi-hit games. He had a home run over the weekend. It was his first time since May 7th. Does his trade value increase? And you kind of go that route, right? So there's tons of prospects. They have a surplus of starting pitchers, right? Robleski, you could go and possibly trade a DePaula if you want to go really big. I mean, you have rushing. You have the prospects to get a deal done for any type of player out there, right? The Dodgers, they don't do window shopping. No, they break out the black card, right? I mean, there's nothing that they can't afford. So if Crochet's available and the Dodgers, natural trade partners with the White Sox, they did tons of deals. Last year at the deadline, you made a big deal with the White Sox. If Crochet's truly going to be dealt, I think that has to be the guy. And if it's not, then you pivot to a Jack Flaherty, another guy who you also almost got a deal done with last year. And that would be another situation. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez, he rejected the trade to the Dodgers, and he was on the Detroit Tigers. Maybe the Tigers, they do the Dodgers a solid and make up for that by trading them Jack Flaherty. So starting pitching, starting pitching, starting pitching. We got, thanks, Larry. What up? Trade for Arozarena and get Crochet. That's from Los Dodgers. It's a fire take right there. We got Miggy Rowe, the GOAT, from Rudy Serna. Lux is finally getting some hits. We can find someone else to trade. That's from Nikki S. Martin Jimenez. I think that with Gavin Lux, it's about he's getting some hits, right? Sure, he's getting some hits, but he doesn't play another position. People get too caught up in the offensive numbers and don't focus enough on the player's role, one, and two, their defensive abilities. Well, defensive ability-wise, Lux has played second base well. He's gotten the job done. Offensively, he has turned it around of late, but it takes more than a couple of games to get out of a season-long slump, right? It takes weeks and months to truly say, okay, this guy is going to be additive. And I think the question is, what is better for the Dodgers when it comes to winning in the postseason? Is it having Gavin Lux at second base and Mookie Betts at shortstop, or is it having Miguel Rojas at shortstop and Mookie Betts at second base, and then you'll look to add in other areas, right? Tomorrow we're going to talk about third baseman. I see people asking about Rafael Devers, Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. What are you talking about, Alex Bregman? Come on now. I'd rather eat farts than Alex Bregman on the Dodgers. That can't happen, okay? First of all, Alex Bregman's not even having a good year. Alex Bregman's having a slightly above average season. And no 2017 Astros on my team, especially Alex Bregman, because if you were to, first of all, the Astros aren't going to be selling too. Astros won't sell anyway. So yeah, I see that in the comments. That's a big Randy Jackson. That's a no for me, dog. Just because I don't think the Dodgers are even focused on that position right now, quite frankly. Yes, you look at the third base production. It has been down since Muncy's been out. the third baseman have combined to slash 152, 234, and 223. The runs per game, they've gone from 527 to 4.67. So you're almost losing a full run per game since Max Muncy has been on the shelf since May 15th. But Muncy, from what I've heard, is going to be back. And when he's back, Max Muncy this season helps this team more than Alex Bregman does or would. Okay, Max Muncy's a 36 home run guy, 100 RBI guy. Also, the defense is much improved. So, that's a major, major no for me on that idea, because you need to add an outfielder, you need to add a starting pitcher, you need to potentially add a shortstop if that becomes available as well. And the thing, too, is Bregman, the advanced numbers hate him, too. I mean, the barrel rate, the hard hit percentage, the X slug, the XBA, they're all below average this year. I mean, only thing that's above average for him is the strikeout rate and the whiff rate and the defensive ability outs above average. He has two outs above average. He's in the 80th percentile. So yeah, he's a better defender than Max Muncy is, but absolutely not. Alex Bregman, he ain't on my Los Angeles Dodgers. And not even looking past that, even if he wasn't on the 2017 trash rows, even without that, Alex Bregman wouldn't be someone that I'd be focused on trading, because, like I said, you can't buy a house that's not for sale. The Astros, they're not going to be sellers of the deadline, in my opinion. Where are the Astros at right now? We got the Astros kind of making a push in recent weeks. And, I mean, they're 39-40, 4.5 games out of that division. Come on now. You know the Astros are probably going to win that division. It's a non-conversation for me with Alex Bregman. But Kenny Chung, Flaherty over Crochet, D-Mac. Hey, Flaherty, we dropped the name here. I've been pushing for it. I want him on this team. I think the upside of a Crochet, it's higher than a Jack Flaherty. But Jack Flaherty has done something that people asked him to do as far as getting back to the player that was considered to be one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball in 2019. And that is, the strikeout numbers have gone up. And that was really my big knock on him last year. I was against the idea of trading for him when it came between a Lucas Giolito and a Lance Lynn and Jack Flaherty and guys like that. But the big difference this year is the strikeout numbers have gone way, way up. I mean, you look at the top three in strikeout in Major League Baseball, it's Glass now, it's Crochet, and it's Flaherty. Those are the big punch-out guys this season, and that's what plays up in the postseason. Look, when you can miss bats, that is at a premium. When you miss bats, you limit the chance that something bad is going to happen. You limit the chance that Trey Turner is going to have an error on a Myers ground ball hit to him in game two of the 2022 World Series, right? When you miss bats, you put yourself in a position to be dominant, and that's what you want to see, and that's what Flaherty has done this season. If you look at Jack Flaherty on the year, his strikeout rate sits at 33.3%. Last season, it was at 22.8%. So he's increased that by over 10%, and it's amongst the top strikeout pitchers in the game. In 2022, it was down to 19.8%. When he was at its best in St. Louis, it was at 29.9%. So he's striking out more hitters than he ever has at a higher clip, and he's walking less hitters than he ever has, too. His walk rate is pristine at 4%. Expect numbers like him, too. And he wouldn't cost as much. He would not cost as much as a Garrett Crochet, because he signed a one-year $14 million bet-on-yourself deal with the Tigers this offseason. Crochet still has two more years after this season under team control, so the prospect capital cost would be higher. But we got 2.94 playoff ERA, going to go fast from BC. BC, I always appreciate you rocking with us. I always wonder, what does the BC stand for? I mean, what is it? Let me know down below in the comment section. We got, I don't see Walker Buehler coming back this year. Michael Carrillo, he's going to return. The question is he going to return to form? Is he going to look anything like the Buehler that we saw before his second Tommy John surgery? I mean, I think that he can still help this team. I truly believe that. And look, if Buehler could move into the bullpen for the postseason, because as Jose Mota pointed out, he's still pumping 96. He can still touch 97. He still has a repertoire that could play up when it matters most. So I wouldn't rule that out as well. We got Butane is done. Arcade Light Grid. Leave Lux in Chicago. Larry Scott, man, we got some tough fans. But hey, this is your show, guys. I'm just hosting it. And this is why I love this show, is because we don't hide the comments. They're on the screen. We give you guys a voice. I mean, that's what this show is all about, man. This is how you get the true pulse of Dodgers Nation with your guys' takes right here. Los Dodgers, Buehler can go, please. I still remember his flaming out in the playoffs many times, even in his prime, Los Dodgers. I mean, you're talking about Game 6 against the Braves in the 2021 NLCS. I mean, he was going on short rest because Max Scherzer made a business decision to not pitch because of the dead arm. And yeah, it was a tough night. I mean, I don't like the sequencing to Rosario. We got I Love Mota. That's from Arcade Light Grid. We got Roy Estrada. Let's make Randy A happen. Let's get a starter or two. Get Bichette. That's all. That's all. That's it. Hey, man, that sounds like a big-time Christmas list at the trade deadline. If they did that, I think you would absolutely have to say that this team addressed any need they had. But I would say that I would rather have Miguel Rojas at shortstop and Mookie Betts at second and an impact outfield bat like a Randy Rosarena and another starting pitcher and a reliever, then adding a shortstop, because there's no guarantees that Bo Bichette is going to return to form. What if this is just a season-long slump for Bo Bichette? I would absolutely welcome him with open arms if they don't make another move, but if I have the ability to flip some prospects elsewhere to get some players that I'm a little more confident are going to play well and perform well and be able to help this team this year, I think you go that route, because Bichette kind of has been a mess. And Rosarena, well, he would be absolutely electric in Dodger blue. The only issue with Rosarena is he plays one of the corner outfield spots. So if you trade for Rosarena, what do you do with Jason Hayward? Is Hayward coming off the bench? Because you would probably have to have Teoscar Hernandez in right, and then you would have Andy Páez in center, and then you would have Randy Arozarena in left. Now, if you traded for Luis Robert Jr., you could have Andy Páez potentially come off the bench, and you have Jason Hayward in right, but I think these are going to be some tough conversations. The fact that Luis Robert Jr. can play center and left, it kind of helps, because, yes, he's someone that's injury prone. He's someone that has had some issues just being able to post consistently, but his upside is there. I mean, all-star season, he had a 5-WAR season, had 38 home runs last season. Luis Robert Jr. probably hasn't wowed you in this series, but he's an above-average glove. He's a better defender than a Rosarena. But a Rosarena, man, that postseason OPS is something to behold. We got D-Mac, Omar Jimenez, Jack Flaherty is a playoff-caliber starter from Michael Carrillo. Look, Jack Flaherty, I will pick him up at the airport myself, okay? Harvard Westlake Wolverine, bring Jack Flaherty to L.A., okay? I was first to say it. I'm standing on business. I think they need to do it. Get Jack Flaherty, get an impact bat, or get a Garrett Crochet. But we'll talk some more trades tomorrow, guys. Let's do BC says, LOL, it's my initials, but I go by Andre. Actually, it's my middle name. All right, that's good to know. BC, Starving Ghost, do you think Cartaya's promotion is a move to entice other teams to add him as a trade piece? That's always possible. That's definitely a maneuver. But I think it's more so, you know, we'll talk about that real quick before we head out of here, is that my friend, my good friend, Deo Cartaya, has been promoted, and not a lot of people are giving him the love he deserves. People are trying to call him a bust, but Deo Cartaya did get promoted, as did Josue De Paula. But let's talk about Cartaya first, who's headed to AAA Oklahoma City, and he's going to split time with Hunter Fiducia. But the big difference between Deo Cartaya this season is you're seeing the powers back up. He's slashing 236, 354, 379 with a 111 weighted runs created plus. He's hit 5 home runs. He's had 8 doubles. Last year, he slumped in a major way. He struggled mightily in AA. He hit 189, had a 71 weighted runs created plus. So the weighted runs created plus is up from 71 to 111. And then last 28 games, he's really started to surge. Last 28, he has a 144 weighted runs created plus, hitting 297, and has 13 extra base hits in that stretch. And Deo Cartaya, he's just 22 years old. Let's not forget that this guy has still a lot of room to grow. And I think that, yeah, sure, he could be used in a trade piece because he's young, but you have Will Smith that signed a 10-year, $140 million deal. As far as I'm concerned, every single one of these players could be dealt. There are no untouchables in the Dodgers organization because this team is all in on winning a World Series in 2024. If you're kind of in, if you're 80% in, sure, there's some of those guys that you're not even going to pick up the phone if you're getting calls for. But when you're 100% in like the Dodgers, all of these guys, every single one of these guys is available, and Daigo Cartaya is no different. But you have to feel good about the fact that he is an asset once again. He is someone that fell off a lot of prospect lists, Baseball America, MLB Pipeline, but he's starting to get back to having that positive trajectory in his career. And yeah, he's on that 40-man roster, right? So they have high hopes for Cartaya as far as his development goes, and just the fact that he goes to AAA, sure, that could absolutely increase his trade value. But very happy for my guy. I love Daigo Cartaya. He's a great dude. Great guy. Work ethic off the charts. For him, it's just developing as a game caller. Sometimes balls in the dirt tend to be an issue when he's behind the dish and just kind of getting to those pitches on the inner half, but it's good to see. But DePaula going to be a superstar. That's from Craig Osterberg. DePaula has a lot of upside, a lot of potential. I have heard some things about DePaula, though, as far as, do you sell him on the high? Because he could be a sell high guy. DePaula hitting 279, six homers, 11 doubles, three triples, a 128 weighted runs created plus in 55 games. And last 4 weeks, he's really gone off as well. And the thing about Josue DePaula is, I mean, a 13.6% walk rate, and you're seeing the power has gone up as well this season. I mean, if you heard my friend Tim Rogers compare him to Juan Soto, that's an extremely lofty comparison, but still, it kind of tells you the kind of talent that he has. He's got the swag, too. He's got the talent and the swag. Nando390 says, Eduardo Rodriguez scared of the bright lights. I know. How about this? He's got to be the first person in history to say, no LA, too sunny, weather's too perfect, the team's too good. Eduardo Rodriguez saying no to LA was wild. But under 600 OPS for Michael Carrillo. Lux is batting better these days. We got Paxton last start, 2-0 with a 1 ERA. Yeah, that's from Edward Rangel, just two runs and 18 innings of work. I think Big Maple has been getting it done. We got Lux is better than Randy Arozarena. That's from Leon J. At what? I mean, at second base, I agree with you on that one for sure. As a second base defensively, there's no doubt about that. But Randy Arozarena has really kind of picked it up in the month of June. But guys, we will be back tomorrow for Dodgers Dugout Live. Thanks again to Mr. Jose Mota. Be sure to give him a follow. Go to X, go to Instagram, follow Jose Mota 05. He's a true baseball savant. So definitely any information you give from Jose Mota, it's definitely valuable because this guy knows ball with the best of them. So definitely give him a follow. Special thanks to him joining the show. Also special thanks to Mr. Antonio, producer Tony Taters, rocking with us as always. Didn't get a chance to talk to Tony Taters, but he's been holding it down. Did a fantastic job in the interview with Jose Mota. And of course, the great Mr. Noel Sanchez. Young Lotto, always getting it done. Always holding it down on the social media. And also, guys, drop those comments down below. We're going to start featuring comments on the following show that we see under the video. So definitely drop those comments and comment Go Tani so you're eligible for our next giveaway, our 95,000 giveaway for sure. We got Nando. I definitely can't read that one. He says, rather... okay, that's a bruh. Can't read that one, but that's a good one. That's a bruh for sure. But we got Kyle. Anyone from the 2017 Astros are banned from the Dodgers. Hey, the good thing, if you traded for Alex Bregman, you could boo him every at bat for an entire year. That's the only positive that I could see. But no, yes, it's still personal for me. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. But thanks again, guys, for joining us here on Dodgers Dugout Live, the number one Dodgers show here on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, hit the like button. This is the year of the fan. We're working on some more giveaways for you guys, so definitely hit those notification bells, hit those like buttons, and make sure you're subscribed to the channel. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at @DMAC_LA. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast? Whoa, Dad, we're on
Lunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.